I'd like to read to you the 8th Psalm. If you have your Bible, if you can see, you can read along with me. I would appreciate it. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all of the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and infants you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. It's interesting, isn't it? Out of the mouth of babes and infants you have ordained strength. Tremendous. Only God can do that. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? When I think of the stars and the moon and the sun and the heavens, what in the world is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and in the Hebrew it says a little lower than God, Elohim, meaning God. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and the beasts of the fields, and the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all of the earth. I would like to call your attention to the words in the fourth verse. What is man? What is man? Who are we? Why are we here? What's the purpose? What's it all about, our being here? Some years ago, I had a friend, a Jewish friend, down here on Delancey Orchard. I haven't been there in several years. I don't know if they still have the same stores outside as they did in those days or not. But I used to go there a lot years ago when I was pastoring in Brooklyn. And I had friends I'd come to visit me. I'd always love to take them there because it had a Jewish man that had a stand and he sold his beautiful neckties at a very reasonable price. And it was always interesting and intriguing to me. And so I would go and bring folks there and we'd buy neckties from him and talk to him. And so I got to know him. So one day, just the two of us were there. So we began to talk serious. So finally I said to him, I don't remember what his name was, Abe or Jake. Abe, perhaps, and I said, Abe, why are you here? He said, I don't know. I said, Abe, what are you doing in this world? Why are you in this world? He said, you know, I've never thought of that. He said, I said to him, and we kept talking, I said, you know, Abe, you look to me like you're more than half gone. And you don't even know why you came. I said, you're going to be leaving and you won't even know why you came and you've come and gone. And I said, how many hours a day do you work? He said, I work about 12, 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. I said, what's it all about? Someday you're going to quit. I said, what's all this business about? He said, come with me. I said, where are we going? He said, that's my brother-in-law in the big jewelry store. Let's go get him. So we went over, and his brother-in-law was polishing diamonds and jewelry and fixing the counter up. It was not a busy afternoon. And he said, Jake, why are you in this world? He said, what happened to you? He said, nothing. I'm tending my own business, and this reverend came over here and he asked me why I was here, and I couldn't answer him. I said, let's go talk to Jake. Let's see if he knows why he's here. He said, no, I never thought about it. Well, he said, you are really more than half gone and you don't even know why you're here. I said, that's right. So I had a chance to speak to them about the Lord. What is it all about? We are born into this world, and we have nothing to do with it. Nobody decides who your parents will be. Nobody decides what country you'll be born in. Nobody decides what you're going to look like. That's obvious for most of us, isn't it? And we didn't decide what we would look like. And we're here, born with nothing to do with us. Nothing. Nothing. You wake up and you're here in this strange world. And it's so wonderful to see children that haven't seen anything. You know, everything is new to them. And dogs are new. Everything is new. Everything is wonderful. And it's so exciting. And they're changing, growing. And all of a sudden, they begin to play and learn to talk and grow. And then begin to change. And changing so rapidly. And we prepare them. And we send them to pre-K to prepare them for kindergarten. And we send them to kindergarten to prepare them for the first grade. And we send them to the first grade to get ready for the second grade. And we prepare them for elementary school to get ready for high school. And we prepare them for high school to get ready for college if they're going to, or a trade. And we prepare them, then we prepare for marriage and prepare for life. And we prepare for retirement. And we prepare and work and go and live. And what's it all about? What for? Preparing for marriage and preparing for a home and prepare for your children. So one day I was at a barbershop, and it was a barbershop near where I lived, and I used to go there on Saturdays once in a while to get a haircut because he really wasn't a good barber. But I had a chance to witness to him, and he gave me a chance to preach in the barbershop. So I would go there, and we had a big crowd on this Saturday, and finally I got the subject around serious. And so he always lets me talk. He just laughs, and he knows what I'm going to do. And so I got this conversation serious, and I said to all those men in there, "And why are we here? Why are we here?" And there was a man getting a shave. And he was stretched out in a barber's chair way out here like this. And he had lather all over his face. And he was relaxed, almost unconscious, in a coma almost. And he's stretched out there. And he comes to and he wipes the stuff off his face. And he turns around like all of a sudden somebody's hit him. And he says, "We're here." I said, "Yeah, I know we're here. I just got through saying we're here. But the question is, why are we here?" "Well," he says, I said, "Yeah, well," he said, "well," he said, "we're here to get married and have a family and have children." "Oh," I said, "I thought that was how we're here, not why we're here." And I said, "That's how we stay here. But what are your children here for? And what are their children here for?" I said, "Why? What's?" He said, "Well, suppose you tell me." I said, "I have a book that has the answer. Would you read it if I'll get it for you?" He said, "You give me the book and I'll read it. I want to know the answer." I said, "Fine. Give me your address." He gave me his address. And on Monday morning, I got a Bible and I looked up the address, and it was the biggest liquor store in that part of Brooklyn. I said, "Lord, blind the saints while I walk into this liquor store on Monday morning." I said, "Some talking saint will say he had a bad day Sunday, but I never thought it would come to this." But I said, "Dear Lord, help me now." But I had the Bible, and I walked in, and he was there, and there was nobody there. And so we began to talk, and I showed him John's gospel in the third chapter. We began to talk. I showed it to him. And then he said, "But now look," he says, "you know, I can't leave this Bible out here on the desk." He said, "I got to put it under here. But when there's nobody in here, I am going to read it." So I got a chance to speak to him and witness to him and got him reading the Bible. But people don't really know why they're here. We pass through this life, and it's always changing, changing, changing. Nothing remains the same. You're not the same. Tonight will never be repeated. Nothing is repeated. there'll never be a service like this again, folks. Never will we be here just like this again. Tomorrow, if Jesus tarries and spares us, will be another day. And we go through life so quickly, so fast that you go through. And why was it? What was it all about? What was it about? I remember my mother said to me when she was old, an elderly woman and really old at that time, just before she passed away, she said, "Son, it's like yesterday I was with my father in the cornfields and working on the plantation as we were, he was a farmer," and said, as well as a Baptist minister, he farmed to make a living while he preached on Sundays. And she said, "It's like yesterday. And now I'm ready to go. I'm older than my father was, and I'm ready to say goodbye, and it's gone so quickly." But God brought us here. God created you. God brought you into this world. All of the world was made for us. The world was made for us. The land doesn't need us. We need the land. Vegetables don't need us. We need them. Animals don't need us. We have to have them. The ocean doesn't need us. We need the ocean. The sky, the sun doesn't need us. We need it. He said, "All are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's." God made this whole world for us and brought us here. And brought us with an eternal purpose. This is a temporary arrangement. A passing. Never the same. Never fixed. It never stops. It's just moving and going and changing. Nothing is permanent. Nothing is permanent. Now, there's just nothing. Everything is passing and moving. And so are you. And so are we changing. When you're young, they say you're good looking. When you're old, they say you look good. You see, we're changing. We're not the same. Here we are today. You see? Why? You've got to realize God had a plan. He created you. God wants you to know Him. In the garden, He fellowshiped man. God, it is so incredible that God created us to get to know Him and to come to know Jesus. Mankind fell, and sin is in all of us. And Jesus Christ came and went to the cross and bore the sins of the world that we could be in fellowship with Him and get to know Him now in this brief life, because all of us are going to leave and we have an eternity that's fixed. This is a changing world that's fixed. This world is quick and passing. That is eternal. That is forever. It's a God world. It's like God. And God Almighty brought His Son. Satan decided he would destroy this great plan of God and brought sin into the world. And Eve fell and Adam fell and sin entered the human race and we were lost. But Jesus Christ came. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For there's a life beyond this life. God breathed the breath of life into you, and you have God's breath in you, and you will live forever. We're either with Him in heaven or without Him in eternity, lost in a place called hell, in a place called the lake of fire. And we will never cease to exist. You will always exist. So God has a plan. He was not willing that any should perish. St. Peter says in his second epistle and the third chapter, He was not willing that any perish, but that all come to the knowledge of repentance. God reaches out after you through the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to bring you in fellowship with Him, that your sins can be washed away, that you can be born again, of the Spirit of God and come to know Him and have God living within you, that the original plan will be purposed. That's God's plan. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to have fellowship with Him. He wants you to have peace. Peace that He brings to us. But first you've got to know Him as your Savior. And that's a choice. No one will be in heaven that doesn't want to be there. You have to choose to go there. He gives you a choice. You have a choice. You can serve God and surrender your life to Him and come to know Jesus Christ, because you will meet Him. At the end of the day, you're going to meet Him. And tonight, He invites you to accept Jesus Christ into your life. He gave His life for you. Mark's gospel says that He was not willing that any should perish, or rather that go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark's gospel quotes Jesus as saying, "What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" What will it profit you? You're going to leave everything. You're taking nothing with you. You're here just for a short time. And while you're here, God's great plan for you is that you get to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And He comes to dwell in you. And that you, at the end of this brief passing life, will spend eternity with Him. Now, He wants to do something for you as a Christian. He's got a plan for you. He has a purpose for your life. And it's more than a work. And it's more than just having a family, as wonderful as that is. It is something bigger. God has to be the big thing in your life, because He's the one that created you. He created you. And He has a plan for your life. And He expects you, as the pastor so wonderfully said tonight, He wants you to have victory. It's not God's will for anybody to be defeated. That's a Christian. If you're a Christian, He doesn't want you ever to be defeated. You don't need to be. He has a plan for you now, right now, in this life. He has a plan for you that you will worship Him, and that you will have His joy and His blessing and His peace within you, whatever the circumstances are. Whatever circumstances you find yourself in, God plans for you to be victorious in Jesus Christ, and that whatever circumstances you're in, the world will see the light in you and see that you are victorious, and to see that you're happy, and to see that you have joy of the Lord, and that you have a joy that's beyond your job, that's beyond your nationality, that's beyond who you are, that's beyond where you live, it's beyond all these things. And the world is watching you, and they've got to see that Jesus Christ is within you, and that you're victorious. Victorious, and you have peace, and you have victory regardless of circumstances. He wants your light to shine out. He's got a purpose and a plan for you, and He wants you to be a winner, and things will happen to you that you haven't planned, but He plans for you to win. He plans for you to overcome. He plans for you to show forth His light. And people are to look at you and say, "Look at that person, and look at their circumstances, but look how victorious they are. They are still happy. They still have joy. They still are victorious." Praise God. Folks, who you are in this life means very little, because it's all going to change. We all leave here shortly. And the next life, you can determine where you're going to be in heaven and who you're going to be. You have an opportunity of laying up a reward that will never perish. You have an opportunity of serving God. And it doesn't matter your station down here. It doesn't matter what goes on. It's all going to end. Be victorious. Be a winner. God wants you to be a winner. He doesn't want any circumstance to take you down. He don't want any condition to defeat you. He doesn't want you to go under anything. Don't let the world put a value system on you. It can't. It doesn't know who you are. You're a child of God. Hallelujah. And He wants you to win because He called you with an eternal purpose. Hallelujah. That when the world is over, do you realize that when He gets finished with the people on this world, He's all finished, when His plan is finished, the sun will pass away, the moon will pass away, the stars will pass away, because they were all made for us, and the earth will pass. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. That's all there just for us for right now, while we get ready for eternity, while we get ready for the glorious return of Jesus Christ that we heard about tonight. Isn't this something? We prepare for everything, and we prepare. Then we prepare to retire, prepare for the end of it. And it's all just moving, 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 changing, changing, changing. And it won't happen the way you think. But God will allow things to happen because He wants the world to see in you and the people to see in you a victory and to see victorious. Some of you will get married, some won't. Don't you ever let that determine your life. Some will have good jobs, some won't. That's not what's important. It doesn't matter what you have. Everybody leaves everything. It's what you have in here that counts, people. It's not the house you live in. It's what you have inside of you. It really doesn't matter much what the clothes that you have on. And it really doesn't matter what house you live in. And it really doesn't matter what car you drive. And we all know General Motors is done away with. You know that. So we don't know what kind of cars we're going to be driving. But what's the difference? It's not cars, and it's not houses, and it's not jobs, and it's not prestige, and it's not names, and it's not how you look. That means nothing. It's having God inside of you. Hallelujah. Having Jesus Christ inside of you. Hallelujah. Being victorious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants you victorious in youth, in middle age, in old age. He wants you victorious. He wants the world to see the light. He created you. Hallelujah. And when you're going to meet Him. And you know, you won't have any fear of dying. When Jesus really gets His way in your life and you're living victorious, you don't have any fear of dying. I'm not afraid to die. Not, I was before I was saved. Boy, I didn't want to think about eternity. Oh no. I wanted to watch a movie. I wanted to do something. Get your mind off of that. Don't, that's troubling. But I'll never forget when Jesus came into my life. And I tell that story over and over, but it's so wonderful to me. I was coming from Washington, D.C., going home to Connecticut to my mother and to Bible school. And I slept on that hard bench in Grand Central Station. Stone benches. Never made to sleep on. Believe me. Take my word for it. And I lay there. My back was breaking. But I felt so good inside. I said, Jesus is so wonderful. I know You. I have peace. Hallelujah. This body is aching, but my soul is feeling good. Hallelujah. I am feeling good because I know You. I talk to You, and I'm going to see You, and we talk every day. Hallelujah. And He loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you. He cares about you. And don't let the world tell you the value system of what they put on people is worthless. It's all going to pass away. It's when you stand in His presence that you can hear, well done, welcome home. Welcome home, son. Welcome home, daughter. And embrace embraces you and loves you, and for eternity, forever and ever and ever, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and it won't be any more sunsets, and because this way it's just passing and changing and moving. It's permanent. It's fixed. He called you. He chose you. Now, if you're here and you're unsaved tonight, I beg you to give your heart to Jesus Christ. Life has no meaning without it. You can read what the philosophers said. I've read some of them. Know what some of them say? It makes no sense. They don't have the answer. The world of great universities, they talk and they discuss, and the professors talk about why we're here, what's the purpose. They don't know, one of them have the answer. You don't need to spend your time listening to them or reading them. They don't have it. There's no answer. It makes no sense. The only thing that makes sense is when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and you have that peace of God within you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Now, don't set your heart on things of this earth. Don't set your heart on those. Hold everything light. Hold it light, because you're going to lay it all down and let the things of God fill your life, and let His joy and His victory fill your being. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to say goodbye. So, someone in Moody's church in Chicago years ago, Evangelist Moody had this great church in Chicago, and somebody came to him and said, "Do you know that wealthy man died? And do you have any idea how much he left?" Yes, Moody says, "Yeah, I know how much he left." He said, "How much did he leave?" He said, "He left all of it." You're going to leave everything. You don't take anything with you. You're going to lay it all down. So hold it light. Let things of eternity matter to you. Hallelujah. Get a vision. Get a vision. Get a vision. Laying up treasures in heaven. Of preparing for the thing that really matters. That lasts forever. Whatever stage you're in here is all going to end. And you know, when folks are proud about who they are, they're ignorant. Only ignorant people are proud. They had nothing to do with it. Nothing, nothing. Whatever we have is a gift, whatever you have. So for folks to be proud, "Oh, look who I am, look who my people are," that's ignorant. You can be thankful. Yes, you can be thankful. Never arrogant. Never proud. Nobody decides where he'll come. Nobody decides where they'll live. Nobody decides who their parents will be. Nobody decided it. We have just one thing, thankful for whatever we have. But this life is all going to lay down. These relationships are all going to lay down. And we're going to be with him, because we're going to take on, we're going to become like Jesus. We're going to take on his nature. By faith, we receive Christ. By faith, we live in him. By faith, we overcome. We're justified by faith. God takes nothing imperfect in heaven. There's absolutely perfection. But you're perfection in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you stand in him, there's perfection. There is perfection. You're going to be perfected. Hallelujah. 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 And I've got to hurry. Where in the world is the clock? I get carried away. You see, the state where, who is something great down here doesn't mean they're going to be great up there. Some of the poorest, humblest people in the world are going to be the great people in heaven. Hallelujah. It's going to be the great people in heaven. Total different. You can decide. Lay up treasures in heaven. Really prepare for the permanent. Jesus said, prepare for the permanent. Prepare So when you get there, there's a welcome when you get there. Now, some people, when they get to heaven, all their works will be destroyed. They'll be saved by fire. Others will have some little reward. But here and there, there'll be folks with 100% incredible. And they won't be who you think. It'll just be people that have done the things of God. Win where you are. I beg you tonight, win. Let Jesus Christ take over your life. Whatever the problem, set your affections on God. Set your affections on heaven. Set your affections on eternity. Don't let the things of life, don't let marriage, don't let children, don't let family, love them, treat them right, do what's right. Do not let that be your goal. Let your goal be heaven. Let your goal be eternity. Live for God. Get the higher calling. Do what is right. If you're married or if you're not, don't let money get a hold of you. Don't let the spirit of Judas, listen to me. Don't let the spirit of Judas get you. It was money that made him deny Christ. It was the greed that made him deny Christ. Don't let the spirit of Judas get into you. Keep a holy spirit. Keep a humble spirit. Keep a clean spirit in the name of Jesus Christ and be ready to meet him whenever he calls. Some of you will live long. Some of you will die soon. Some of you aren't going to live long as you think. Some of you will die shortly. Some of you will live. Nobody knows. You don't know that. Are you ready? Are you ready? It's so permanent. You don't ever have this opportunity again. Tonight's never coming back. If you're not here without Jesus tonight, God brought you here, up here in the balcony, down here somewhere. God, in His love, brought you here tonight to change you forever, to come into your life, to break those chains, and to lift your vision above the earth and the temple, into the glories, into eternity, into the things that really matter. That you become an overcomer. You're going to really be successful because you know Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Find Him tonight. Come to know Him tonight. Open your heart to Him tonight. You never know. You never know. I remember my brother went to work. He was 18 years old one morning on the road. Never realized at night he'd be in eternity. That day, sometime around noontime, he was in an accident. He was in a pit. There were two men down there working. He was on the outside, and they were on the road shoveling gravel. He saw this boulder falling on him. He jumped in, knocked one away, threw the other one out, jumped. The boulder hit him, saved two men, lost his life. That night, he was gone. Never dreamed. My own daughter that I love more than life itself went to carry her friend home, 30 years old, carry her friend home at night, coming back, didn't have her seatbelt on, hit a skiddy, icy road, went off, hit the tree, killed instantly, hit the post of the car, killed instantly. My own daughter. We don't know. You have no way of knowing. Some of you, it's not going to be long. Please, I beg you tonight, listen to me. Give your life to Christ, and it won't matter. It's gain. To die is gain when you know Jesus Christ. To die is gain when you know Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid of dying. I'm not afraid of that. Praise God, because it's gain for me. Hallelujah. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. We have Christ. We never die. Hallelujah. His life is within us, and we're going to go be with Him. Now, I want you tonight, if you don't know Him, I beg you, make this your night. The Holy Spirit is here. It's been a fabulous meeting. The worship is incredible, and the praise and the presence of God. Come to Jesus tonight. And if you're living for things of earth, lay up, turn them loose tonight and catch the vision. And if you have weighted down tonight, turn loose and realize God can make you victorious. I don't care what your circumstances are. He wants your light to shine. He's going to give you the victory. He wants you to be like Him wherever you are. He's placed you there. And He wants you to win, and you can win. And you can have peace, and you can have joy, and you can have be victorious. And the world will see that you don't react like they react. Whatever things come in the future, don't be afraid, because those that really know Him are going to shine like lights in this dark world. As dark as it gets, the brighter the church is going to shine. We're winners. We are winners. We won on the cross. We win. We win. We win. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tonight, make that decision. Let Christ come first. I beg you, let nothing take the place of the Lord in your life. Let nothing take His place. Put Him as Lord of your life, and you will be lifted up, and you will win wherever you are. God bless you. Pastor, you come and bring Him down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. You've heard the word tonight, and now the choice is yours. One of the churches in the last book of the Bible, Jesus said to them, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open to me, my Father and I will come in, we'll sup with him." That means we'll sit down, we'll begin to fellowship together, you'll begin to know what it's like to live in the presence of God, and you begin to be nourished by a source that is not visible to people whose minds are on the things of this earth only. If that's you tonight, if you've heard, and you say, "Pastor, tonight I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to surrender the rights to my life. I want to be free from the penalty and the power of sin. I want to know that when I die, I'm going to heaven, and I want to know why I'm alive on this earth." When you give your life to Christ, the scriptures are going to open to you. You're going to understand the whole reason. You may not see it all clearly right now, but you'll understand it. You'll know why you're here. And most importantly, you'll know where you're going. And on the journey, you'll know in whose hand you are. It's an amazing journey. Praise God. You begin to live in the supernatural. God comes into your life. And the Bible says that you're created anew by the Spirit of God. That means you're given new thoughts, new desires, new abilities. God will give you abilities that you don't have right now. He'll put things in your heart that are not there, because He's a God who's, when He speaks, things are created. That's who He is. That's what He does. He said, "Let there be light," and light was. Nothing could resist it. And when He begins to speak into your heart and you reach out in faith and don't resist God, you'll see things come into your life. Maybe tonight are just a dream to you, but it can be a whole lot more than that. It can become a reality in your life. Those of us who preach to you, we know this. We've lived this. We've experienced this, and we're going to experience it all the days of our lives in increasing measure, but we can't give it to you. You've got to come and open your heart to God yourself. And tonight, if the Lord is drawing you, and I do believe, Pastor Ben, I hear the urgency of the Holy Spirit tonight in your voice. I don't know how many days we have left. I beg you as well, don't miss eternity with God for something that is not going to last. Let's stand together. If the Lord has been speaking to you, make your way to this altar, please. Balcony, you can go to either exit, education annex, make your way over. Just come. Just come tonight. Young and old, rich and poor, those that have it together and those that don't, it makes no difference. The Lord will forgive you. God will cleanse you. God will change you. Make your way right to the altar. Don't be ashamed. Just step right out. Step right out. There's nothing to be ashamed of. You make your way here, and He'll receive you to Himself.
On ahead.
Jesus. Praise be to God. Those that have come to this altar for the first time, you'll never regret this decision you're making tonight. Never, 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 never will you regret this. Bless God. Let's pray together. Pray with me, please, if you will. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I thank you, Jesus, that you loved me so much, that you came to this earth and took my place and took all the punishment that I deserve for the wrong things that I've done. Because of your sacrifice, I am free. Tonight I open my heart to you, Jesus. I ask you to come into my life and to be my Lord and my Savior. I am sincere in this prayer. I truly mean this, Lord. I want to live for you the rest of my life. And I accept your cleansing. I accept your promise to me that when I die, I'm going to be in heaven with you for all of eternity. And while I live, you will change me. And you will make my life something that gives honor and glory to your name. Oh God, thank you for answering the deepest questions of my heart tonight. I believe, Lord, that this very night you have forgiven my sin, received me to yourself as your child, and from this day forward, my life will never be the same. God, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now give him thanks. Bless God. You'll never be the same. You'll never, 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 never be the same. I got a book today from a young student in 2003, came into this church, heard these words, came to this altar, and her first Christian book has just been published by a publisher, and it looks like an awesome book. I'm going to actually start reading it tonight when I go home. But in 2003, she came in here, a philosophy student, studying, wondering, what is life about? Why am I here? Where am I going? Heard a simple message like this. Her life has been totally changed. She's now an author, and a publisher has picked her up. She's already started on her second book and is going to do great, great good for many people and for the kingdom of God. That's what God can do. If you'll just let him do it with your life, whatever it is that he has for you, just let him do it. Some of you will end up on the mission field. You'd never believe it in 100 years that God would ever use you. But you have no idea what God will do when he begins to recreate you from the inside out. He says, a new mind I give you. That means the old thoughts, the old ways of thinking, the old words that governed your life are gone. And a new word starts coming in. God's word starts coming into your heart. And he says, I give you a new heart. Things that used to be afraid of, now you're going to challenge them. Now you're going to stand against things that once caused you to cower. You're going to have a new spirit, caused to stand by the power of God, caused to be another person. Now, you won't have to memorize what to tell other people. It's going to just explode out of you because it's going to be so real. Praise be to God. If Well, if I reached down tonight and gave you $100,000, you don't have to take a course on how to tell people about that because you got it. You know what I mean? You just walk out and well, maybe not in New York. You wouldn't tell too many people in New York till you get it in the bank. But you know what I'm talking about. You don't have to take a course on this. This will just explode from within you. You've got to tell somebody when you know that Jesus Christ has saved you from your sin. Downstairs in the lower lobby, there are people that will pray with you. They'll give you a Gospel of John if you don't have a Bible. They'll answer any questions you might have about how to get plugged into a church if you're not from this area. If you are, you're welcome to attend here. You never have to sign anything here. There is no membership. Nobody will bother you. But if you want help, and that advice would be somebody there to help you. For the rest of us, let's give thanks to God for what He's done tonight. Praise God. Praise God. What a night of victory this has been in the house of the Lord tonight. Are you glad you came to God's house tonight? Praise God. Let's go shouting victory tonight.